You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net. This cancer information website is produced by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO, the world's leading professional organization for doctors that care for people with cancer. In today's podcast, Dr. Gary Lyman discusses nausea and vomiting. Some cancer treatments, including radiation therapy and chemotherapy, may cause these types of side effects. The best way to treat vomiting is to prevent it with medications called antiemetics. To help doctors give their patients the best possible care, ASCO has developed evidence-based recommendations for the use of drugs that prevent vomiting. These guidelines were updated in 2011 to reflect the latest research, and the purpose of this podcast is to summarize these findings. ASCO would like to thank Dr. Lyman for summarizing these recommendations.
Hello, this is Dr. Gary Lyman from Duke University and co-chair of the recent guideline update on antiemetics put forward by the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Nausea and vomiting, which is the symptoms that antiemetics or anti-nausea drugs are intended to treat, are some of the most common side effects we see of cancer, and particularly cancer treatment like chemotherapy and radiation therapy. ASCO initially published guidelines on the optimal way to manage or prevent these problems back in 1999, and this was updated approximately 5 years ago, and this represents the most recent update, the 2011 update in the ASCO antiemetic or anti-nausea guidelines. And there have been some changes. Of course, the purpose of guidelines are to do exactly that, to guide oncologists to the recent data, and ASCO does a systematic review of the literature, and this was updated from the last guideline to the present, identifying a number of new drugs available for controlling nausea and vomiting, as well as a new understanding of the mechanisms and optimal way to manage nausea and vomiting. So along with the guidelines will be a summary of all the recent studies and literature for oncologists to review so they have a full understanding of the problem and how best to manage it. The guidelines themselves address a number of special populations. Of course, a big part of it is chemotherapy-associated nausea and vomiting and how best to manage that. And we've learned over the years and further improved our understanding in these guidelines on how to classify patients or the treatments that they're receiving into high, medium, and low risk of nausea and vomiting. As I said, nausea and vomiting is one of the most, if not the most common symptom of cancer chemotherapy. That's the bad news. The good news is going back several years and probably reaching its pinnacle today is the ability to control or prevent these symptoms in the vast majority of patients receiving cancer treatment. So what has changed from 5 years ago, as I indicated, several new drugs are available that are more effective and in some cases have fewer side effects, but there are challenges because they often come with a higher price tag, and finding that balance between benefit and the ability to provide these treatments to all patients is an ongoing challenge for our healthcare system. But oncologists want to provide the very best treatment for the specific patient. And so we've entered this era of more personalized approach to controlling nausea and vomiting. Nausea, of course, is the symptom of feeling sick and the urge to vomit, whereas vomiting is the actual event of emptying the stomach as a response to nausea. Both, of course, distress patients greatly, can limit their ability to receive cancer treatment, and yet can be effectively controlled in the vast majority of cases of in patients receiving chemotherapy or radiation therapy. So the classes we use, high emetic agents, are those that produce nausea and vomiting in virtually everybody, more than 90% of patients. Low means less than 30% will experience these symptoms, minimal, less than 10%, and everything in between is moderate in intensity. So physicians look at the drug combination or the radiation program that's planned, judge what is the likely risk of these symptoms, and then select the appropriate anti-nausea drug for this. And the guidelines provide charts to oncologists as to what drugs fit into what risk category so that they can appropriately tailor the treatment for patients. So what has changed? We've learned that a particular combination of a drug called Adriamycin and another drug called Cyclophosphamide are really highly emetogenic. They used to be considered moderate. And so this combination is now recommended to receive the very strongest program available, which includes three different classes of drugs. They work by different mechanisms of action, but in combination, they are most effective at preventing these nausea and vomiting from these highly emetogenic chemotherapy programs. Patients receiving more moderate risk chemotherapy, which is the majority of chemotherapy combinations, receive a two-drug combination, including a new drug that's come along. At least the recommendation is for these patients to receive that new drug, which seems to be a bit more effective than the previous ones available, along with a drug that has been with us for some time. And that combination is preferred whenever possible. And then the more mildly emetic or nausea-producing agents can be treated with a single drug. Patients with minimal risk, often there'll be an effort to see how patients do, and if the rare patient who has problems with nausea and vomiting then can receive one of these programs, but not everybody will want or need them. So this individualization or personalization of care with both classifying the risk associated with the particular chemotherapy program or radiation therapy program and then tailoring the drug or drug combination of anti-nausea medicine is really the major update that's occurred since the last guidelines, along, again, with a few new agents available. If patient isn't responding to one, there are new agents available. We've also learned more in the guidelines clearly say that there's some other medications that will sometimes help if these combinations aren't optimally controlling, with the goal being complete control of nausea and vomiting. There are drugs that are sometimes used for anxiety or for allergies that can be added to the program with minimal side effects that can enhance the effect of the anti-nausea program. There's been a lot of discussion and both within the guidelines and among clinicians and patients about complementary therapy, and there is a discussion of this in the new guidelines. Unfortunately, there have been no new randomized control trials to indicate how these should be integrated. We know patients are using them, and sometimes oncologists are giving complementary therapies. We just need more data to fully integrate any of these, if effective, into future guidelines. Again, it's not just for chemotherapy. Patients getting radiation therapy can have these problems. And again, the guidelines outline the optimal way to approach patients receiving radiation therapy, sometimes alone, sometimes in combination with chemotherapy to prevent nausea and vomiting. So that's a brief overview of the changes that have occurred in the recommendation. I think the bottom line message is, while this remains the highest side effect of chemotherapy in terms of risk, we have introduced a number of new agents to some very good agents we've had over the last few years to optimally control or prevent these side effects in the vast majority of patients. Patients going through chemotherapy or chemotherapy and radiation therapy today, with rare exception, should not be experiencing nausea and vomiting. And if they do, of course, their oncologists now have a number of new agents available to improve the control in the individual patient so that their experience with chemotherapy is a more tolerable one. They're able to continue on their treatment and will have the optimal outcome and hopefully long-term benefit from chemotherapy or radiation therapy. It's been a pleasure discussing these issues with you. I would encourage you to discuss further the new recommendations with your oncologist, if you're a patient or a family member, there's a great deal that can be done. And we, of course, are continuing research and will not be satisfied until we have full control of these symptoms in all patients receiving cancer treatment. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lyman. More information about nausea and vomiting and other side effects of cancer treatment can be found at www.cancer.net. Thank you for listening to this Cancer.net podcast.